Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mitchell Trubisky talking about what he's still working on. And the truth is, as talented as he is, he's got a lot to work on. I'm glad he knows it. Here to talk about that and more is football analyst and former quarterback Dan Orlovsky. He is on Twitter at DanOrlovsky7, works for the NFL Network and the Backup Plan podcast. And he's with us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great. Was watching some of your work on Trubisky on the NFL Network and noticed right off the bat that the one of the highlights that you took from Trubisky and kind of broke down and explained, you know, the talent that you've seen in him, it was a drop pass to a wide receiver that is no longer going to be around. I thought that was interesting, too, because we've had to look back at Trubisky because of the talent he's been with, because of the scheme he had to work in, and then try and figure out what he's going to be based on that kind of tape. I imagine that's got to be tough for even a young, talented quarterback to live with.
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, if you just look at the spectrum of the quarterbacks in the NFL and the guys that are always thought of to be really good, the two things that a lot of them have in common are really good play callers, good offensive schemes, and guys around them. And so that special or that piece that I did on Good Morning Football the other day was those sophomore quarterbacks, the guys that were taken in the first round last year with Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, and Trubisky. And Deshaun had much more talent around him and, in my opinion, better play call and scheme. And I know Mahomes had a smaller sample size than Mitchell, but Mitchell's, when I watched his tape, it was just so difficult to truly gauge really anything because I felt the scheme was very handcuffed type football and the talent around him was not fair. And so my point with that video that I selected was there was a really impressive throw that you don't see often in the NFL. There's not like those every guy in the NFL is making that throw. So that was impressive. And two, understanding, don't fall in love with numbers. Don't just look at numbers because that pass that would have been a 50-yard completion last year was a drop. But this year with some of the people that they've brought in, like an Allen Robinson or a Trey Burton, those are completions more than likely. And so those numbers are going to be skewed differently.
I always say that with football, scout the player, not the stats, because of so many individual responsibilities, so many things that have to go right. Of your analysis, that's one thing that stood out to me. When you said it didn't matter for the purposes of evaluating Mitchell Trubisky, it didn't matter that it was dropped. And that's why when I'm trying to overlay his skill set on this offense, I'd be reliant on your experience having digested different playbooks. How do you see this player making the throws that will be asked of him now as opposed to what you had seen on tape?
Yeah, so what stood out when I went back and watched all his games from last year, and the thing that stood out more than anything to me was NFL accuracy, like impressive accuracy. That first third down against his Minnesota at home, the first start, he throws that out route right away, and Trey Wayne's Minnesota breaks on it. It's in a perfect location. He throws another corner on the run. He throws an in route. So he's got a lot of really good accuracy. And when I say NFL accuracy, I'm talking – if the receiver's running towards the sideline, that ball needs to be on that front shoulder. It can't be on his chest or his back shoulder because in the NFL, that's an incompletion. And so when I saw that on tape, I was like, well, okay, he's more accurate than I thought he was, or that his numbers or the perception that's painted by so many people out there kind of made me think. And so with this offense that they're going to be running, which is, you know, a little blend of West Coast stuff, the two things that you need to have to be successful in the West Coast-ish type offense is rhythm and accuracy. Because that accuracy, where you put the ball, the guy's not going to be wide open in the NFL. So where you put that ball on him, is it down on his left hip or is it off his left shoulder so he can catch and run? That is really where you see quarterbacks who are successful consistently in this type of offense, this intermediate passing game offense. The guys who can do that play well long-term. And I think he's got that attribute to fit well besides the movement stuff that they'll do and whatnot, I think just the rhythm and the accuracy part, I think he'll fit well with this scheme.
So, Dan, given how much is going to change from year one to year two for Mitchell Trubisky, you know, scheme changes, coaching changes, player personnel changes, teammates, all that kind of stuff, what's as a guy going from year one to year two, what's most important for him to remember about his rookie season, and what's most important for him to forget?
Yeah, see, that's a fantastic question, because I think where he stands right now, he basically has to start over. Because when you're a rookie, and like I said, I think he was a little handcuffed last year with his scheme, you can get into bad habits of not being aggressive, being a little hesitant. Coaches will often just say, hey, just get completions. And so you just – it's like when you're a kid and you play Little League and your parents are like – you get done playing Little League game and the parents are like, hey, at least you made contact and the ball went 2 feet.
God, I heard that all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just – as a kid, you become okay with just making contact. And then so as a young kid, as a quarterback, when your coach is like, hey, let's just get completions, you think just getting completions are okay. So the dinks and dunks – oh, I got a completion, coach. So I think where he stands right now, yes, he's going into year two, but I really think he's just starting over. Not in a bad place, but he's got to rewire his brain a little bit to get out of maybe a little bit of a scheme, like I keep saying, that handcuffed him or limited some of the stuff. What does he need? What's the number one thing he needs to progress on? Is that rewiring? Is that starting over? Taking some of the stuff he learned that really had nothing to do with Sunday between 1 and 4 p.m. or 12 and 3 p.m. for you guys. It'll be, you know, the Monday through Saturday stuff. Take all that stuff and implement it to where he is now. The biggest thing that I think he needs to forget is it's human nature as an athlete. I experienced it, and every guy does, that when things don't go well, you're a pretty good player in college and you're selected early and you have these expectations, and they don't necessarily go where you think you wanted them to, the expectations aren't met, it's only natural for doubt to become a part of it. And he's going to have to quickly learn to get rid of all that doubt and all that bad stuff that may have happened or anything that he may have read, and kind of plant his feet back in the ground and work from the background up. Because I think he's talented enough to become a good player. But, you know, those things that happened last year of, oh, didn't play, you know, well, or X, Y, and Z, or touchdown interception ratio, or your coach got fired, all that stuff, get rid of it and kind of wash the board clean and write another story.
It sounds like it's another way of describing that message you get when your computer has downloaded updates and it says updates will require a restart. That for everything to take, and for the new software or hardware updates, you got to shut it down and start it up again for the full reboot. And the other aspect that you bring up that we had talked about before was, for lack of a better term, the Brian Hoyerization of NFL offensive philosophy, or Sam Bradfordization. And that is super high completion percentages and efficiency and not enough damn points. And to me, I think the coaches and coordinators that solve the risk-reward balance puzzle with their quarterbacks are the ones who are going to succeed in the modern NFL. You've got to have the risk, and there's so much fear over interceptions that it's paralyzing offenses into valuing efficiency and completions over getting the ball in the end zone. So what's the right way to do that? Even with all the RPOs and everything we're hearing, where are we in the NFL with embracing risk?
Yeah, I mean, the ball needs to get put in harm's way to be great. That's just the reality. There's no one's ever been great being conservative. There's that saying, you know, I'd rather have somebody, you know, choke on greatness than something on mediocrity. I don't know exactly how it goes, but I'll say this: there's a time and place for being completion driven. There's a time, and I live in Philadelphia, so when the Eagles made the playoffs and Foles was playing, I did some stuff studio down here for them, and we were talking about the Atlanta game, and they said, what's the number one thing Nick Foles needs to do? And I said, just get completions. And they were like, well, what do you mean? I said, Atlanta's defense doesn't allow you to push the ball downfield. So the completion thing is week to week. Some teams are going to play man-to-man, and the ball, you're not going to have a high completion percentage, and the ball is going to be, you know, in harm's way a little bit more. And then some teams are going to play boring zones and you're going to get a ton of completion. So in my opinion, it's week to week. The thing that is the biggest issue or the biggest you see when the guys that that play at a high level is their coaches are consistently giving them options. They're consistent, and that's why I think the Bears are in such a good place right now, because when you're going to get an offense to line up and the defense is going to go, you know what, we're going to play man-to-man against you because we don't think you're good enough. Well, you really can't do that against Chicago this year because they've got good players now. They went out and got them some guys. So that's why I think the biggest thing for Trubisky moving forward is to get rid of the, okay, let's just don't lose the game. We've got a good defense and special team, so let's just don't lose the game. And there's, and like you said, there's that fear of let's not throw the game away because of turnovers. Here's what matters when it comes to interceptions. I don't really care how many interceptions you throw, because if you throw three interceptions and the defense gets three and outs on all three of those interceptions, it's like they didn't happen. Hmm. It's what the other team does with the turnover that matters. And so I've as a quarterback, as a guy who was a backup for a long time to some really good players, I never made a big deal about interceptions, because you'll never make great throws without throwing interceptions. That's the reality of it. So you've got to be aggressive. You've got to be fearless in putting the ball in harm's way. There's a difference between, you know, being aggressive and being stupid. I always say that quarterbacks need to value the football and not protect it. You protect your children because you don't want bad things to happen to them. You value the football because you know it's important. So I'm hopeful that Nagy and Helfrich have an idea and understanding of that, of spreading the ball out and being aggressive down the field, which is something Kansas City really did a lot more the last couple of years.
And the line is, I'd rather choke on greatness than nibble on mediocrity.
Hmm. Yeah,
that would
exactly
be the line.
Dan Orlovsky of the NFL Network here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. So, Dan, you alluded to it, and I love the idea that the ball has to be in harm's way to be great. That's it's an awesome way of putting it. What do you expect in Nagy's offense, in Helfrich's offense, and given what you've seen Mitchell Trubisky able to do, that skill set, give a preview, I guess, for Bear fans who are listening to this. In what ways do you figure Mitchell Trubisky will put the ball in harm's way to be great? How will that offense try and manage mismatches or whatever? What can we look for? Are there routes, a combination, plays? Where do you think he does best at putting the ball at risk to be great?
Yeah, that's another really good question. I kind of did some stuff on my Twitter page right when free agency started, and they made the signings of Robinson and Trey Burton. And I made the example that Trey Burton, to me, is the key, and it's because this is kind of where the NFL game is Trey Burton is one of those tight ends where he's okay enough to put on the line of scrimmage and block at some point. You don't want to run at him all the time, no, but he can cut off backside and he can – you know, hold the point of contact on an inside zone just enough. But what he does is he's going to force these defensive coordinators to make a decision if they're going to treat him as a wide receiver or they're going to treat him as a tight end. Because if you treat him as a tight end, you bring an extra body, a big body on the field, well, then he's going to have a pass game matchup advantage because he's going to be running routes against the linebacker. If you treat him as a receiver, you're going to bring an extra defensive back on the field. Well, then now he's got blocking advantages on a smaller guy. It's going to be what the Chiefs did with Kelce and the Pats do with Gronk and Eagles do with Ertz. And so what that's going to do, not only force the defense to make a decision, but it's always going to give Mitchell Trubisky information before the snap. Hmm. They're going to flex Burton out like a receiver position, and they're going to put Burton and Sheen on the same side. And so the defense is going to declare, hey, we're in zone. So if they look like a cornerback, if it looks like a cornerback is still covering Trey Burton, the defense is going to tell Mitchell Trubisky, we're in zone. Well, now as a play caller, you can say, hey, Mitchell, if you get zone, you're going to work to the left, and we're going to just play our completion plays. If you get man, if there's a safety or a linebacker out there, now, Mitchell, you know you have man. Let's take a shot down the field to Allen. Let's put the ball down the field to Trey Burton. Let's throw a big crossing route versus man-to-man. So he's going to have all that information. And so when quarterbacks have information, we're aggressive because there's no thinking. The greatest thing you can do for a quarterback is tell us what the coverage is before the play, because then we do predetermine. Everyone tells you can't predetermine at the quarterback position. Yes, we do. The good ones do, because that's how you're aggressive. And so I think that's what they're going to put together and formulate this game plan that is always going to be gathering information for Trubisky. And all those times that he's got man-to-man, it's going to be, let's go take advantage of this matchup. Burton on a linebacker, or Burton on a safety, or Allen Robinson in man-to-man, or Gabriel in man-to-man with a shot downfield. Teams are going to play zone. Let's pound it with Howard. So I think they're in a really, really healthy place personnel-wise and gathering information. And when those teams are going to play man, that's when Mitchell's going to have a greater opportunity to be aggressive downfield.
Longtime quarterback turned analyst, although he does say we still when talking about quarterbacks. Dan Orlovsky is with us on the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score. I want to talk about the mental side of the development a little bit, too, because we hear about the room, the quarterback room, and they went out of their way to clean house and bring in Chase Daniel and Tyler Bray, not just people who know this offense in and out, who are going to function as de facto quarterback coaches, but who also don't necessarily have a resume to provide any real threat. You know, Chase Daniel obviously can get you through a few games and do something for you, but they've made it very, very clear that it's all about a support system for Mitchell Trubisky. They also say that he's all about football, and he's just constantly grinding and learning, and his nose is in the iPad. They just spent millions on virtual reality technology. I also wonder, when is it too much? You know, when can you just say, look, I don't want the guy to develop obsessive compulsive disorder in this. I still want him to be a human being. He's not a robot. You know, what would be your advice to him as he does this year two reboot and everything's put in place to upload all this stuff to him? How do you stay sane?
You know, I think I would want him to be obsessive.
Okay.
Absolutely. Because this is the time of year to be obsessive. The only downside when it comes to obsessiveness would be game plan preparation and, you know, paralysis by analysis type stuff. Because football is reactionary. And at some point, things happen in the game that you aren't prepared for, is unscripted. And so you want that natural kind of improvisation to be a part of it. But if you're going to tell me I've got a young quarterback who's really physically talented and he's got obsessive traits where he's just consumed by learning everything about the position, I'm jumping up and down and going, we got a shot, guys. We've got a chance here, because that's the number one trait that makes you great, is that grit, that obsessiveness with trying to be as good as you can possibly be. And so I credit the organization for doing the virtual reality. You know, I'm very good friends with Mike Glennon, and I'll say this. When Mike Glennon went there early on and they drafted Mitchell Trubisky, I remember having a conversation with Glennon pretty early on. I don't know if it was OTAs or training camp, and I asked him about Mitchell Trubisky. And mind you, this is a guy that was paid a good amount of money in free agency and high expectations and whatnot, and he had nothing but phenomenal things to say about Trubisky as a guy, as a guy who prepares and studies, and he's smart and he's a good dude. So that stuff carries a long way. Right now, I think the more that he can learn about the position, the more every no stone unturned type mindset, the better. And so I would continue to push that stuff. I would, if you're the organization, the coaching staff, you're giving him every resource he asks to become as good as he wants to become. You don't want to hold him back at all right now. And then with those guys like a Chase Daniel that's going to be in his room during the season, that's when you become more finite in your focus. That's when you become obsessive with your routine rather than information. You're obsessive with how you study on a Monday and a Tuesday and prepare on a Wednesday, Thursday and practice. That's where a guy like Chase Daniel is going to become really invaluable to Mitchell Trubisky.
So is there like some special social club for journeyman quarterbacks 6'5 and over where everybody's sort of hanging out together? It's like you and Glennon and Dan McGuire and like Jim Druckenmiller, and everybody's playing darts and having beers and playing bags?
No, not that I know. Okay. At least I haven't been invited to. I was with Glennon in Tampa for a year, his rookie season, so that's how I know him. But I'm not part of that club just yet. I don't know if I've been invited.
Well, so. Well, if we start one, we'll let you know.
Good deal.
Yeah, very, very good stuff.
Great.
Fascinating.
Stuff,
really enjoyed it, Dan. I hope we can talk again soon.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me. Anytime.
That is Dan Orlovsky.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.